Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Dino, Tosh.
Donnie.
How are you guys? Well, no, I'm good.
Awesome.
Where are you?
We're at Rio All Suites.
Come on, Dean. Yeah, he did. Well, I didn't mean specifically where. Yeah, like where? Yeah. Where's you? Where are you,
bud? It's really cool. You know what's really cool? And people are gonna get some insight as to what I get every morning when we room together. It's waking up, Dino. There's a different Dino when he's just waking up, and we're gonna get some of that today. So, but anyways, we're at the Rio All Suites in Las Vegas, Nevada, getting ready to head out this morning to Sacramento.
I was just in Nevada. Let me tell you guys, it was worth all the whining.
To Nevada, Donnie. Were you excited?
I know. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, five second delay. It was just a 5 second delay.
Yeah. It's good, Dean. Honestly. Yeah, man. It was so much fun.
Oh,
can we get right into it right now? You don't mind?
Let's get into it right now.
So.
You're going to have to go slow, though.
Yeah, Dean. Someone hand Dean some crayons, and if you can't keep up, bud, just write an N on one. Put it on a piece of paper, show us. I'm going to start with, if we back up a little bit, yeah, I had to grovel a little bit, and it was a lot of whining and campaigning, and finally get to go to Vegas. It was awesome. Get very excited. But I'm going to start with the tragedy. The Tuesday morning, I'm at the gym trying to get my fitness on. You know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I get an email from Tosh saying, hey, did you see this? And it's my itinerary from Expedia saying my flights had been moved to right now and they were supposed to be the next day. So, of course, my reply to Tosh was, no, I didn't see that. And the tragedy being that Tosh was already on his way to Vancouver. So he's like, hey, man, you're going to have to figure this out. And panic sets in. My immediate thought is, hey, man, universe doesn't want you going to Vegas. Like, this is just the way they've thrown the curveball at you. Too bad. So, of course, I phone Expedia. And they're like, are you Keith McIntosh? I'm like, well, no. And they're like, well, sorry about your luck. You missed your flight. You accepted the email saying we changed your flight, which is your acknowledgement that we changed your flight. So anyway, back and forth. I just have to say, Rachel at CWT here in Lloyd phoned, got everything rebooked, no fees. So it appears that things are going to be fine. Tosh sends me a, hey, bud, it's not looking good here for you. You know, it's like $900 to get you added. And like, we already got three coaches on the 18. So it felt like it wasn't going to happen. Rachel came through. Fantastic. I got into a pickle, boys, because I've said on this cast before, my wife has asked me from time to time to stay the night and drive at 2 or 3 in the morning to the airport before a flight, which, you know what? Last time I did it, it was October, so the roads weren't bad. It wasn't a big deal. But of course, this happens again. And it was 6 degrees when I went to bed. And at 3:30 when I woke up in the morning to drive to the airport, it's blizzarding. So that was a lot of fun. So here again, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? It's the universe's way of saying you're about to hit the ditch and you're not going to Vegas. So I text Marcy Terpsma. I'm like, hey, I might be a little bit late. Is there any chance you can cause a scene at the airport in security to keep the plane delayed? She was right on board. Didn't need to. So Marcy, thanks to you. But we get to Vegas. Sean Coburn, the chicken farmer, offers me a ride to the hotel. I'm pretty excited. The weirdest part for me was getting into the casino, and there were 7 people in it, like 15 people maybe. It was very weird. Because I'm used to seeing Vegas ripping. But by Thursday, Friday, it was packed. So it was just very weird to see nobody. But that was my entrance into Vegas. And it was amazing. My exit was almost even a worse story, which we'll get into, I'm sure, on parting shots. How about you guys?
Well, maybe.
I think it's garbage. Yeah. I think it's garbage that somebody emails you to bump your flight up a day. That should never happen.
Right. I don't disagree, Dean.
That's that. You can have something bump back, but bumped ahead is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Well, here's the other thing. So I'll take the shot on this because the email did go to me because I booked the flight. But I get all this spam junk mail from Expedia. Here's your points. Here's oh, hey, a new deal. So when I see Expedia, sometimes I don't even, I just swipe it, right? And it just goes into my junk mail, or my trash can, I guess. But when I clicked on that email, it wasn't open because it went straight to trash. It never was opened, right? So I don't know how they got the fact that I accepted it. Anyways, I thought that was ridiculous as well. And I don't know if I'm going to use Expedia again. It was tough. Like, I mean, it wasn't good. It's not good when that happens, especially, you know, one time there was no reminder, hey, your flight's coming up. Anything like that probably would have jogged my memory. But yeah, so that was a bit tragic for you, Donnie, for sure. And I know that. And then so on the other side of it, what's happening in Vancouver or on route to Vancouver, Dean and I are sitting beside each other on the plane, and I'm starting to go through flights and searching to rebook and figure out what our options are. And I said, yeah, man, there's one here for 900. And then that's when I sent that to you. And what, I can't remember what your response was. If I look back, it was something along the lines of, well, I sure hope it works out or whatever. And I think I said, yeah, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Just left it hanging there. But you were coming to Vegas, buddy. We were getting you there. But I'm glad. Yeah. And shout out to your gal there. That was awesome that she was able to do that for us. And, so it started out a little bit bumpy for you, but a little dicey. Yeah, but it was. So you want to get into it? Want to get into the week?
I don't see why we wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what it's about. It's Vegas recap. So let's recap. So three teams were here just to set the stage. Three teams were here. There was two 16 teams, the 05 and the 06s, and one 18 team with our graduating players. And Razor and Stacy and Ellie coached the 18s. Dino and Jay coached the 06s. And Donnie and I coached the 05s. And going into it, we had a couple COVID issues. So we you know, each of the 05s and the 06s were missing a pitcher. So we went in one arm short. But other than that, I think it was pretty smooth sailing as far as the team's gelling, and exhibition games are great. Thanks to Gord Mark and the Little Rebels organization for helping set some of those up. And thanks to Keeley, the tournament director here at the Vegas Valentine's Day Blast, for setting up fields for us for practice. And yeah, so we got out here Thursday morning and got the kids out for a practice and looked good. Like we looked really sharp, and went into Thursday night and we didn't. Well, I should say we didn't. I mean, we always struggle the first night, right? It's first games back on dirt after a while, and of course we didn't have a January trip that some of the kids would have been on. So these were the first games since December, I guess, in Irvine, and it always works out that way. Thursday night's a little bit of a rough go, but. All three teams actually pretty well. The 18s actually tied their first game. They played two. But it was good. I mean, it was good that we got the swings in, and we noticed right away that we had a deficiency in hitting the rise ball. So Dino dusted off the glove, and away he went, and he threw some rise balls, and you and Riser also.
That was
also
good practice, yeah. So, you know, it was a good practice going into the weekend.
It was awesome. So
not only did Dino dust off the rise ball, he dusted off his hat. Just out there, looked like Dog the Bounty Hunter. Hair flowing, shades, ripping lifters. Man, it was nice. And usually, I have to throw all BP, which I love throwing BP, but after a while, especially these older kids, man, they rope some of these balls. But Dino said, hey, let's... you can go behind and work with the hitters as I'm throwing and give them some tips and whatnot. So my first hour on the Friday practice, I stood there like a hitting coach. It was awesome. It was fantastic. Yeah. One point I'd like to make, and hats off to all the hitters. Dean Holine can spin a cage ball, and you can see the spin perfectly on a cage ball full of dimples. It was a very interesting view from where I was. But even a couple girls, and by the end, what I found was interesting is we started running out of time, obviously. So we did, for the first time I've ever seen it with the twos, three pitchers lined up, three hitters, and we triple barreled.
Yeah, that
was
pretty good.
It was just rotated them over. It was really good, though. I thought that practice went phenomenally, and the hitting certainly paid off because the girls came out smashing.
12 to 15 bombs.
Yeah.
And they were hitting from the screen with the machine balls.
Yeah.
So they were they had some nails for breakfast that morning because they were
and it did pay off because you know we go into Friday and we played Ruthless. The Ruthless team that actually went to the final.
They won
the whole thing. They won it. Yeah, and we beat them on Friday night. So so it was good. I mean, it was an eye opener for some of our kids that you know, and you know what? To be fair, we do build this tournament up, and I think there was a little extra pressure on the kids because they knew how important it was, and you could just tell we were squeezing the bats a little bit too tight. And but yeah, I think it all in all, it the exhibition games and the practices. Got some work in. It got done what we needed to get done, and then we went into the weekend. So, do you want to do your recap, Dino, and then we can do ours, and then we'll have to piece razors together because he's not on. So,
we finished third.
That's your recap.
Good. That's your recap.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good and bad. You know, the way we kind of played every game. There was always one or two people that made, you know, that had some outstanding plays, but not in any game did we ever kind of get everybody firing a little bit. And that was a really good lesson for us because, I mean, we had a great tournament. Like, I mean, that was our young team, and we knew that, you know, there's some chance that we, you know, if somebody was gonna, you know, look to win it. We were kind of thinking originally it might have been in our 05s, just being a little bit older, a little bit more experienced. And but I mean, our 06s played well. I'm not going to, I'm not complaining. They're a great, great team. And Jay and I told him in the last little huddle there that we'd go to battle with those guys any day. They're just an absolute treat to coach. And so it's not a negative. It's just it was a really good learning thing for us that, you know, if you shouldn't win a tournament, you know, and make four or five errors in a ball game, right? It just shouldn't happen, you know. And if that's the case, I mean, yeah, some weird things are happening. You're probably pounding the ball or whatever. And you know, we had a good week, but not a great week. And I think that's why, you know, in the end, we ended up losing out to that Ruthless team 6-1, and they went on to win it. So it just shows you if you keep anything back, that might be it that keeps you from moving on. So, but a good lesson, I think, for the girls. And there was a few tears, so that's good. It means they wanted it, you know, and hopefully that sets a little bit of fire in their bellies for next year. So,
well, let's get into the improbable scenario that we almost faced, which would have been ridiculous.
Well, we can build up to it too, because there were some things that happened that set up that scenario that I don't think anybody was looking forward to had it happened, and it didn't happen. And I think it's probably good. But so we start the day off with where were they from?
Colorado.
I don't know. Right, Colorado, and maybe the ugliest uniforms.
Oh, they, no offense to if any of our 1800 listeners are from Colorado or have relatives there, no disrespect,
or from that team. And don't get me wrong, and their coaches were awesome. They were great guys. They were a younger, not a younger team, but maybe a little inexperienced team.
Maybe.
And I mean, it was 22-0.
Back,
the game was called in the second inning.
Back to their coaches though, Tosh, real quick. Did you notice anything about their coaching staff that set maybe made you tilt your head a bit, say, what are these guys doing over there with their hats, per example?
Well, they, I mean, on the field, right?
On the field.
wearing hat backwards.
God, backwards hat. It's
our skateboard punk, as Chris Jones says, would never do that.
Never. But, you know, it's one thing at practice, but during a game, I find that that might even be another affront to God there. So anyway, I thought that was odd.
Yeah. So, I mean, it started out, the game started out great for us because I think we hit for a half an hour. Like, So we win that game and we move on. We play back-to-back and we play a team that, again, went pretty deep in the tournament.
They went to the final.
They went to the semifinal. Ruthless beat them in the final. Semifinal.
No, they beat him in the final, I thought.
No, Ruthless won the final.
No, I know Ruthless won, but the Rebels that we played second, that's who they beat.
I think they beat him in the semis, Donnie. I don't know, maybe
Ruthless beat Dean's team in the semis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, all right.
That was that was the tie-in.
Yeah, the side of the draw. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we play this team, and I would say we made a couple defensive physical errors, and they happen, and that's okay. But our brain farts really happen on bases.
Oh my God.
Two times innings were ended with runners getting picked off. One got picked off at third, one got picked off at first with a decent bat at the plate and two runners on. So a little lesson learned there that we got to make sure that we're doing our job on the bases and paying attention. And I think that was the difference in the game because, you know, we scored right off the hop. We scored a couple runs right off the hop and we were, you know, we were rolling and
threatening.
A couple things happened. So long story short, we let one get away there. And then we beat the next team. I don't even know what the score was, Donnie. It was lots to one. Again, we hit for the better part of the game.
Yeah, so. Draper hit two home runs in one inning.
Draper hit two home runs in one inning. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how long the first inning was.
Pretty big performance by Nat. And So that puts us into the gold bracket. So that's where we wanted to be. We just knew it'd be a little bit tougher. But the scenario that we talked about or alluded to earlier that had set up that we didn't want to see, that we thought, well, and we joked about it, that it could happen is if both the 05s and the 06s win their first game, we play each other in an elimination game. And if both teams lose their first game, we play each other in an elimination game. So we talked about that scenario earlier, how, you know, jokey, the fives and the sixes, boy, that'd be cool. Be like sisters fighting, da 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 da. It wouldn't have been cool.
No.
I would have dreaded that situation if one of our teams were knocked out because of the other team. So we go into the first playoff and kids played pretty well. A couple things, you know, whatever happened in a game that happened in a game. We end up losing our first game and the sixes won, which was awesome because it took away that whole scenario and the sixes were rolling. So did you catch it? Okay, good. Sorry, Dino sneezed. I think he went on mute.
He had the foresight to mute himself before he blew his sneeze. That was great, Dean.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Anyway, so little Rebels team, Dino beats. They come over, play us, and they're our second game, and we beat them. But probably the highlight playoff game for us was that game. Good little Rebels team. They jump out to a lead, and umpire calls last inning on the time limit, and we're down 6-2. Right? And what we said was, here's what we need to do. We just need to will our way at the plate to bring the next hitter to the plate with the same number of outs as when you got there. And if you do that, if you can do that, just get on any way you can. We're going to be fine. And Reagan Walter led off the inning with a bomb to make it 6-3. And then we rattled off, six hits in a row after that, including a grand salami by Avery Terpsma. And we came back and won the game. They scored. Actually, they scored in their last at-bats because they were the home team. And they had runners at second and third with two out. Right? So the tying run and the winning run on base in scoring position. And we got the out. Draper gets a ground ball third throw out. So that was exciting. And then after that, I think we found our stride with our bats because it was there was a lot of runs after that in the next couple games. And then probably the last highlight that I'll bring up And then I'll get into maybe some of the performances. But the last highlight was we're getting everybody in to hit. Want everybody to get an at bat in this last game. And we're going into the bottom of the third inning, and we're up 11-0. So one more run, and 12-3 was the mercy rule. So one more run, it was over. And I put Abby Burgess in to pinch hit. And Georgia Kazema, who did yeoman's work in the circle, didn't hit a lot. So I put her in to pinch hit. And as I'm walking past home plate towards third base coach's box, I said to Abby Burgess, I said, Georgia Kazema is going to be really mad when you walk this off. And she giggled and I giggled. And 30 seconds later, she hit one off the scoreboard.
Yeah,
it was game over.
It was a rocket. She crushed that.
She crushed it. And it was funny because Georgia actually started walking to the plate. I don't think she realized the game was over.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was funny.
Not only did she start walking to the plate, Avery Summers stepped on her foot in the celebration. That's right. Jordan, I've never seen Georgia throw as well. I don't think in the entire time I've seen the program. She did really well down there.
So, okay, so we can get into some pretty cool things that happened, some highlights now, because we are recapping Vegas. And there were some really, really neat things that happened. One, Georgia Kazema, we all knew that she would be successful if she, you know, did her thing. And her thing ball is down. Keeping the ball down, throwing lots of strikes, not walking people, change of speeds. And she did everything that was asked of her. She threw great. So that was awesome. I was really happy for that. And I'm happy now that they decided to drive down, because now Lauren's going over to Sacramento, George is coming with them. And now we have a BP pitcher.
Nice.
Throw BP all week for us. So there you go. But no, Georgia was awesome. We can get into highlights as far as hitting. We don't have to. You know, we talked about Terps. As we talked, Jordan Butcher had a couple clutch hits, and it was awesome too, because if you remember in Irvine, she was at the plate a couple times in clutch situations, and it didn't work out for her, but this time it did. So that was awesome. But I just think overall, we just smashed the ball. Like, we had 8 home runs in the tournament. So, you know, kids were stepping up and smashing the ball, and everybody contributed. Everybody contributed in every game. So it was really good. Army threw well. She was throwing harder at the end than she did at the start of the day, which was a testament to her grit. But I got to tell you, Donnie and I were, to set the stage, we lost that game to that that team from
Vegas Blast.
No. No, the team that got away on us.
The Rebels.
Rebels. No, we have different Rebels.
Oregon, right?
Oregon Rebels. That's right, Oregon. So I knew that one got away, and I knew in this tournament you couldn't let that happen, because now the draw doesn't line up right, and oh my God, you know, it just didn't, you know, we've been in that situation before. So we went for something to eat, and we came back, and we thought, okay, well, we got to get the girls up for this, because, you know, we need this one for sure. And we get back, and they're line dancing. Yeah. Katie Berg has got them line dancing. They're dancing in circles. They're doing made-up dances to these different songs. All the teams are looking at us like, what the heck is going on? And the cool thing is, it turned out to be part of our warm-up for the rest of the week. To the point where...
Dancing.
Yeah. There was dancing. That was part of our warm-up.
Oh, so they did. Come on, man. That's as bad as hat backwards.
It's not nearly as bad.
No, it's not nearly as bad, especially when, you know, to commemorate the win... I suggested, why don't you guys go around the pitcher's circle and do one little dance for the parents and show them what you guys were doing?
Yeah, at the end of the tournament, that's different.
Yeah, and then there's video evidence of a certain coach that had his toe tapping, and then his knees were buckling, and then his shoulders were swinging around, and he was going, and he ended up in the circle dancing with them.
Okay, so that's the end of the tournament.
Yeah, okay, anyways. Hey, yeah, okay. Anyways.
No, I'm not saying it was good. What?
What a grouch.
Tough
day. Hey, listen, whatever it takes a team to get mentally prepared to go out and play, and there's some weird stuff that goes on, I'm good with it. What's the difference of a little dance in her hacky sack to stay loose? Nothing. I've seen
them. Yeah, they're both bad ideas.
Yeah. Hey, what room are you
anyways,
in?
Anyways,
let's
awesome.
Have room
it
service
awesome.
Send you up a Snickers, bud.
Yeah. Jeez, you get a little angry. Holy cow. Anyway, so talk about the 06s. Talk about some of the stuff that went on there.
Well, we had, again, we were, you know, leery of the meeting up with the 05s. We didn't want to have to do that. But our teams that were in our pool were, we had the Rocky Mountain Thunder, we had the Idaho Intensity, and we had the Northwest Sidewinders. And we kind of, we had some of the parents doing a little bit of scouting for us. And, you know, we came out in our first game and played pretty well. We kind of beat up a little bit. I mean, it took a few innings. It was one of those games that you're like, you're not too worried because you think you should come out and beat these guys. But it was, it took about four or five innings until we scored some runs, and then we did score them in piles. And so we got that one going, and we beat the Rocky Mountain Thunder, and then we came up against the Sidewinders, who it looked like was the weaker team in our pool. And we couldn't get rolling on that one. We ended up losing that game 7-5. And so we were kind of thinking, well, geez, you know, I am anyways. We kind of shot ourselves in the foot. And now we could end up not even in the gold bracket, because even there's going to be three teams tied at 2-1, I'm thinking. But, you know, little did we know, the Sidewinders came out and beat the team that we had to play third. So that was the Intensity. And that, I think they were the best team in the, you know, besides ourselves, was the best team in the pool. And so this was, it kind of set it up for us to come out, and we had to win this ball game. And it was, we get down 3-1. Danique Cannell was throwing for us, and she threw a lot for us, especially on Sunday. And then did an amazing job. This was the first chance we had to see her, and a real treat to coach and a real competitor. She did really, really well for us. Definitely one of our top performances on the hill. But in this game in particular, we ended up coming back, tying it up 3-3. And then, Tyra Martin comes up and boom, slams one off field to go up 4-3. And then all we need is three outs to win the ball game. And the first hit was up the middle, and it was a kind of a sinking line drive. And she comes running in, and I don't, some of you know the catch that Morgan Walter made Scorpion. On social media. Yeah. Do you remember seeing that one with her feet over top of her head? So same thing with Tyra. She dives in and makes a basket catch, and her feet go over top of her head. And I thought she broke her back, but she didn't. She hung in there, and we ended up winning that ball game 4-3. And then, like I say, with the upset, I think it was an upset. Intensity loses, or that other team loses, and we ended up finishing in the gold bracket and finishing first in our pool. So that was kind of a lucky, you know, again, wasn't in our control, and I like to control things, you know, as far as, you don't like going in and waiting on somebody else to beat somebody, but we got a little lucky there and ended up finishing first in our pool, and then we went into the playoffs on Sunday. And again, we just weren't firing on all cylinders Sunday, and there wasn't one ball game in particular. We just kind of were just not quite meeting expectations the whole way through. You know, there were some great performances, like we said, but we just couldn't quite get it happening, and we kind of ran out of gas against that ruthless team that ended up winning it. So we lost 6-1 to them in the semis. So it was kind of a bitter pill to swallow, but gives us something for next year, like we said.
Well, that's what I think it is. And we can get into that with the 18s a little bit too. And we don't have one of their coaches on, but you know, what we saw with the 18s was we saw a team that kind of sputtered coming out of the gates on Thursday and Friday, just couldn't get it going. And then they kind of went off and they started hitting, and hitting's contagious. And I think, you know, not singling out players because I didn't see a lot of it, but I did hear some good things that Sierra Jones got hot and Thora hit a grand slam, and so there was just Taylor Farr got hot. So I think there was more than, you know, just those three. Obviously, you know, Aaron threw well, Waters, you know, I think they got a whole combination of things going right for them, and they made the gold bracket too, which was awesome. You know, that's a great way for those kids to finish up their careers and end up losing the semifinals in a bit of a controversial heartbreaker. You know, Dino, you were there. You could probably describe it a little bit better than I. But.
Well, it was just a last play at first base. And of course, we think that the call went the wrong way. But it was a pretty tight call at first base. They get the safe call. They ended up scoring a run in the bottom last inning. So it was a tough pill to swallow. Like I said to the 18s, you know, that loss, it was gone from my mind in about 30 seconds because, you know, the bigger loss was us having to say goodbye to our 18s after that tournament, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so we were bugging Tosh here a couple of weeks ago about his blubbering mess he was at practice. So there was a lot of tears at the end of that game as well. And it was, you know, of course, not so much the loss. It was just more the fact that people were saying, you know, realizing that this was their last ball game, you know, mm-hmm. as a group. So it was tough. It was definitely tough. A lot of these kids have been in the program for 4 or 5 years. It was definitely hard for them to say goodbye.
So to clarify, some of those tears came out of your face too?
Well, actually, no, but I...
No?
No, I didn't.
I heard you did.
Well, then you heard wrong.
Okay.
Check your stats.
See? Heartless. He's heartless.
Well, I...
How do you not?
I feel bad. I can feel bad. I just... What do I got to cry for? I just...
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe I cried in my room later.
Maybe. Maybe. So it was a great experience, but I think one of the things that was probably on the minds, you know, the 18s, like, it's, you know, they're done, they're going off to college, and, you know, hopefully they take some of the experience they've got with the twos that, you know, and we know that they will, but I think with the fives and the sixes who have an opportunity to come back to this thing, I really hope they take it as, okay, here's where we want to go, and this is what we got to do to get there, you know, because we saw some people that that stepped up. We saw some people that, you know, maybe weren't as prepared as they hoped they would be, and it just comes down to putting the work in. You can't just flip a switch and play at that level. So you know, I think that, you know, it kind of gave us some opportunity to sit back and really look at those three teams, and look at it as a program as a whole and say, okay, what can we do better as coaches? What can we do to set things up? And it was good because we had some great discussions all week with all the coaches saying, hey, maybe we should try this next year and we start out, blah, blah, blah. So again, always looking to improve. It's not the end of the season by any means, because we still have a whole lot of ball to play yet. But for a lot of those kids, it's their last trip. So just, you know, deciding how we can improve things for next year and be ready for not only this tournament, but all of them. I think there was...
Yeah, I was looking, I don't know, it's just, I was looking at the scores in this tournament, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was a lot of lopsided scores.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not necessarily saying the talent level wasn't there. It was just a lot of lopsided scores. It was, you know, and then... You know, we had the 4-3 ball game, which was, I think, one of the best ball games in the tournament for sure. You guys had that 8-7 game with Gordy's, which was obviously a pretty good ball game. But
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of 12-0, 6-0, 8-1. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was. And
I don't know why that was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it was some teams got onto the bats, and yeah, it was. It was just good to be back here. You know, we didn't get to come last year, and, you know, driving in up to the Rio where we always stay, and it was just like kind of like coming home. It was kind of cool. So
one point I'd like to bring up, was it Thursday? We had exhibition games. As we leave the hotel, we talk to somebody that's setting up a band right outside our elevator. And we're all like, oh, what's going on here tonight? Like, oh, we have a Kiss cover band playing tonight. And you all know we love Kiss. You know, they're the intro song on the podcast. So we're all pretty excited. Well, they're for a corporate event, but they'll be playing right here. So you can sit at the Masquerade Bar and you can watch. And we're excited. When's it start? They said 8 to 10, I think is what they said.
Yeah, 8 till 10.
8 till 10.
But I think they went 7 to 9. So we race back to the hotel after the games, and they're just taking pictures. These guys were in full makeup and garb boots. Like, they looked, I don't know, Tosh, I think you said you heard their last song when you came in.
I heard the last half of Lick It Up. Oh. That would have been their last song as we're coming around the corner at Smashburger. And they were awesome. Like, they were so good. They were nailing everything on that song. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then we thought, okay, let's go up to the Masquerade. And, you know, we popped the caps off a couple adult beverages and some well-deserved good jobs, attaboys going on. And thinking, oh, they're just going to take a break. No, never came back.
No.
Never.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I have another sidebar, if we may sidebar here.
Yeah, we're going to sidebar.
We talk about the work that has to go in between either practices with us or on your summer teams, on your own. What are you guys doing to get better? And it came up, I don't know if it was Tosh or Dean said it, you can just sit, you can watch YouTube clips of the position you play at a high level. Watch UCLA shortstop or watch their pitchers or do whatever. Watch a game. The more we watch, the more we learn. So I'm in the bullpen spotting for Nell, who's throwing a Bannard. And I've never seen her throw. I can't see it. I got my back to her, but it's clearly snapping the mitt pretty hard. And Bannard's talking to her, and she's like, oh, I'm going to throw a rise ball. So I wanted to turn and see. So she snaps, and it goes up pretty good. Throws a few of those. Okay, I'll throw a curve. And she throws them over pretty hard. So I happen to say to her, hey, that's pretty impressive, you know. Who are you working with as a pitching coach? Like, who's working with you? Do you know what her answer was?
Yep.
Yeah. YouTube. Self-taught. Yeah. Like, so I'm on YouTube yesterday. No joke. I got the station car brought to you by Lloydminster Hyundai, hopefully future sponsor of the podcast. Got to switch my dash from Fahrenheit to Celsius because I have no clue what -5 Fahrenheit is, and it's frustrating. Yeah. I'm on YouTube getting a tutorial how to fix my centigrade to Fahrenheit.
Yeah, and I changed the toilet that way.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. She got a legit spin by watching YouTube. And the internet's a lot more than just the Twitters and the Instagrams. So I found that to be a very interesting. Now, she said she's got a pitching coach she works with in St. Louis, and clearly someone's working with her. But the fact that she had at 15 or 14, had the, all right, I'm going to go on YouTube and figure out how to throw a rise ball. You know, if I had YouTube when I was a kid, I would have had a rise ball before I turned 37 too, which would have maybe helped old Donnie's career. But I digress.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
You can find a lot on YouTube.
Oh, the internet is it's a wealth of funny things and helpful things and terrible things. It's anywhere. It's like Vegas. Anything you want, you know?
And I think just on that point, I think thanks to Danica for coming, and thanks to her parents for allowing that to happen and coming out and being a part of it. And hopefully, you know, they're back next year. But it was good. I mean, she did a great job for us, for sure. Especially, you know, we're being down a pitcher.
Well, it hurt not having Ava, like, and Newberry, of course.
Right? It did.
You guys, so that kind of started out.
Pretty, pretty nice kid, too, hey? Like, real friendly, easy to talk to. And the mom was super sweet. Like, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good people.
Yeah.
Hopefully really have them in the family next year.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything else?
Well,
it looks like we're keeping Dino up. He looks like he needs a nap.
I won't get to nap. We're going to have a 7-hour drive here.
Oh, why? Where are we going?
Where are we going? Reno.
Yeah, we're going to Reno tonight. Stay over in Sacramento. Down into Sacramento with 14. So a little preview. We had a little post-Vegas, now a little preview Sacramento, heading into Sacramento for a couple weeks with four teams. Looking forward to it. One team, 2 weeks. Oof. Going to get a lot of work done. It's going to be awesome.
We got to golf on.
I was going to say, did this come up? Yeah.
The most unbelievable golf course yesterday that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. So we got to golf three times in Vegas, which is a lot. Normally we don't get to golf that much, but it just worked out that way. So we had, we golfed Chimera on in Henderson on Wednesday, which was good. A lot of fun. Tosh tied the series, by the way, Donnie, if you keep track.
I was going to ask, if you played three, what are we at?
Tosh tied her up at two. And then on Monday.
One by stroke.
One by one stroke, yeah. No. Oh, no.
No, that was bigger. Ten
strokes, yeah, that day. But a cool sidebar to the story that we'll tell about yesterday. So Gord Mark is down here, buddy of ours. People at home know Gord as former
editor mother Gord Mark.
Yeah, we will. And he runs Little Rebels down here, one of the organizations that obviously help us. We mentioned that before. So we're playing one of his teams and go over, meet the coach. Hey, how's it going? Blah blah blah. When'd you guys get in? Oh, we got in yesterday, played a little golf, blah blah blah. Oh, how long are you guys staying? Don't know. We're going to be here till probably Tuesday. You guys going to play some more golf? Yeah, we're going to play with Gordy. This is how the conversation is going. We're going to play with Gordy on Monday. We're going to play at Rhodes Ranch, blah, 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 blah. He goes, oh, I should see if I could get you on our course. Doesn't really say too much about it. We're like, okay, yeah, that'd be great. Whatever. Talk to Gordy. I said, we're buddy with Gordy. Snake it. Okay, this isn't whatever. This is just a guy talking. Right? So we golf for Rhodes Ranch and Gordy shows up at Rhodes Ranch and says, we got a 12:40 tee time tomorrow, fellas, at TPC Summerland. That's where they play the PGA Tour stop. The Shriners tournament is there. Oh, my gosh. What a great course that is. It's unbelievable. Like, and we played the tips because we had to. You just got to see. Just to see.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know what? Here's the difference I found. Like, Dino smashes the ball. Like, it's not DeChambeau smashing, but he probably, his average drive would be an average drive on tour, I'm guessing. Maybe even a little longer. Like, he hits the ball a long ways. But the equalizer, why these guys are on TV and we're watching, around the green. Like, false fronts, false backs.
Onto the highway.
Yeah, if you can't spin the ball and make it stay, it's not going to stay on those greens. Every green is elevated, so you're always throwing the ball up. And I don't know how many times we had to change clubs. You started with a putter, and now you're chipping back on. Because
or it would chip, and you'd get it almost up onto the green, and then it would roll right back in the same spot where you just were.
Like it was like putting on your kitchen table. And if you miss, it just goes. Like, it was a great experience, but it was very humbling for sure. Very humbling.
So as a guy who doesn't golf, that doesn't sound enjoyable at all. I get the venue's beautiful and like it sounds like shit. You guys are out there for 3 hours and frustrated and I don't know.
There was a 30 to 40 mile an hour wind going. Look at my hair.
Yeah.
You look like you're wearing one of those visors with a wig out of the top of it.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said.
Guy Fieri. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we got back and I basically said to the cart guy as he's cleaning off our clubs, he said, how did it go? And I said, well, we probably could have saved some time if I just would have paid the green fees and you would have punched me in the face because that's what it felt like. But credit to Dino. Usually the short fuse guy golfing, he has a bit of a short fuse, but credit to Dino. When things got, this is awesome. What a great course. He just kept saying that over and over and over, no matter how terrible we were playing. And we weren't even playing that terrible. How bad the shots ended up because we just couldn't play at that level. He kept her in check. I was pretty proud of you. Pretty proud of you, big guy, for keeping her in check.
102.
Yep.
50 and a 52.
Yep. Yeah, I was. But, okay, so to match Donnie, because I know you're keeping track, and for those keeping track at home, we tied at Rhodes Ranch. So it was still 2-2. And then I won by one stroke yesterday.
So on I the shot fancy course.
On the big course. Yeah. And that's so now we're 3-2.
So Dean needs to come out with his best effort in Reno here.
No, we're not going to play in Reno, but we're going to play with Dean Bilodeau. We're going to play Dean Bilodeau on Monday. And a course there that he played last time we were in Sacramento. So it's a nice track. So we're going to play with him on Monday. So there you go.
Yeah.
Dean, I wish you luck, bud. I know it's tough at 3-2. Don't let the pressure get to you. It's just another game out there, you know?
Well, I'm thinking back to, I think it was hole number 8, where I chipped up onto the green. Well, I was laying 2 just on the edge of the green, and I chipped up onto the green, and it didn't quite make it, and it rolled right back down the same spot. So I went, screw it, I'm not going to chip it, I'm going to putt it. So I putted it up, and it went up onto the green, and then it came back down again into the same spot. So I took my putter, and I hit it as hard as I could over by the golf carts. So I took I took an 8 on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe should have really strived for a 7, right? Because if I don't pick up my ball, maybe I... Well,
yeah, there it is.
There's a turning point right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at the card, it was...
Kids, don't take a temper tantrum.
That's
what it comes down to.
I saw the same scene in Happy Gilmore, Dean, where he's at the mini putt there, and he's trying to putt it in the clown's mouth, and he can't do it.
Yeah. You're a jackass.
Yeah, that's right.
Waiting for that guy.
The scorecard was littered with, it was like, there were some pars on there. There's a lot of 7s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And walk away with a 7 and being pretty happy.
Walking away with.
And gained a stroke.
Draining a 10-footer for a crowd-pleasing 7.
Yeah.
For your
but it was a really cool thing. So, thanks to Gordy and whoever else helped get us on there. Because what did we pay? Yeah. Cart fees only.
It's usually a $250 course. We paid $45.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. And the best part is it's like Gordy had the whole course. We got out there and we're checking in and they get us into the books and the guy comes out and the pro comes out and says, yeah, no problem, boys. It was set up through Mark actually. Great. Thanks. You know, pay your cart fees, blah, blah, blah. Got you going out there. There's one group ahead of you. But after that, you guys should be out there by yourselves pretty much. And then the guy coming in on cue, older guy says, hey, I'm not going out this morning. It's too windy. Da, 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 da. I don't want to golf in the wind. We're the only group pretty much on the course all day. Yeah. It was awesome. These two guys, probably members, they were playing a twosome and they caught us.
The wind was hard enough that it did overswing on it, but there was a 200 and whatever it was, 208 or whatever, and I rolled her off the back with my 8-iron. So there was a pretty good wind on our back, right?
Yeah.
And in our face at times.
When you said the old fella in front of you, I was waiting for it to be the same guy that heckled you when you were in Reno or Sacramento last time you guys talked about it. I was like, oh my God, this is going to
be that guy.
Yeah.
After I almost killed the
duck. No way that could happen.
Yeah, that was.
Because then you'd have to start thinking that maybe Tosh is paying this guy like Shooter McGavin paid the guy to heckle Happy Gilmore.
There was a couple layups. Oh, how about that split fairway hole?
Oh, yeah.
Donnie, I can't wait to get home and play Xbox. I can't tell you. I'm gonna play the course again, and I'm going to be better. I know I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to work at it.
Just like we tell the kids, you got to go home and put in the work, Dean. So you're doing some research. Yeah. You're going to hit the ball. You're going to find some paths. Good for you, Dean.
We got the scorecard, so I know which holes I need to improve upon for sure.
I think you hit it on the head, though. If you played that course enough, you would know. But we don't play greens like that, right? No. And the front nine was it was late. It was a nicely laid out course. You know, a few doglegs here, traps, whatever. You got to 10, and all of a sudden it changed. All of a sudden the golf gods went, nah, screw this. And there was water and hidden greens. And it was just like the split fairway. Had we known, instead of going at the danger, the smart play would have been to lay up on the
short
plateau.
Side.
Yeah, the plateau fairway, and then wedge in from there. And it's just so if you played that course enough, you know, you'd obviously get better. But man, it was like It was cool too because you got to play that course, and now it's not in the same shape as say when the Shriners was there. I'd love to see it, but it's gonna be cool to watch it on TV. But you're hitting off carpet.
Yeah, and I mean you could putt from 30 yards off the green, and
if you're on the fairway, yeah,
beautiful, yeah.
So. But if it goes in the rough, it's like hitting it out of a bowl of salad. It's so fluffy, and you know, it's like, oh my god, and you don't know what your club's gonna do. And,
like a wedge salad, like yeah, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I guess the recap, all in all, Vegas was good. The kids played great. Thanks to the parents, awesome groups of parents on all three teams. Really, you know, I didn't get the 06s are. I know that group of parents are a lot of fun, and I know the 04s, but the 05s parents got to give them a shout out, Donnie, because we were with them most of the time, and they are very supportive. Thanks a lot to Jeff Lorndorf. Lorndorf for doing Game Changer and sending the games home. I know lots of people got to watch, and so thanks a lot. And you guys had Waldorf and Stadler.
Yeah.
Two.
And Holly Ross. Well, Holly Ross was probably keeping them in order, but they were doing the commentating.
Okay, you guys had walk-up tunes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, walk-up tunes. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to those two hammerheads because
they did great.
Litzenberger and Bannard, Paul and Gary did an awesome job, and I know people at home were listening and they were pretty entertained by those two guys. So thanks to those guys for doing it. It was awesome.
I don't know what the song was, but Henry had this one that went clap clap clap.
It's called Hands Clap.
You know that one?
Yeah,
by Lupe Fiasco. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it was awesome because by the end of the tournament, everybody was, as soon as she came up to bat, everybody was clapping, the fans and
parents. Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That is awesome.
Everybody going. So
yeah,
thanks guys. Because that was.
Can I point out one song that stood out for me off your team, Dean?
Sure.
The Chicken Farmer's Daughter came out to California Love by Tupac, which I think is amazing.
California.
Yeah. Big fan of that. So. Okay, so let's quickly talk about because you guys are in Sacramento.
Yep.
Then the 12s in Sacramento.
14s in Sacramento this time,
right?
Yeah. And then in March, the 12s and the 14s are in Sacramento.
And then
from the 17th to the 28th, and then it'll be finalized today on our 6-hour tour drive to Reno. We'll get everything sorted out. The 16s/18s are going to Georgia.
Fantastic. And
it looks like it's going to be two teams for the first week and one team for the second week. We just got to get all that stuff figured out. So
beautiful.
Yeah, that's how the year's going to end.
Do you have an announcement coming up, boys?
Yeah, there's something coming out on the 22nd.
And what's the significance of the 22nd?
Well, it's February 22nd.
The funny thing was, how many parents did you guys have calling us or texting you on February 2nd?
Lots.
Yeah. Lots.
Saying, hey, this is a pretty special day for twos.
And it is.
It is,
It is. But, you know.
February 22nd.
So, like, month, day. For those of you paying attention at home, that really is 2/22. Because normally February 2nd, that would be 22.
Right.
So, yeah.
Or 202. Yeah.
So anyways, there's watch for social media. We got some cool things
really cool stuff coming. Yeah.
Yeah. On that day. And that will be Tuesday. And it's on a Tuesday.
You can't even write that stuff up. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah.
Tuesday. Yep. So there you go.
Okay, well, let's get to shots here because you guys got a long road to travel today. So who wants to lead off?
Well, I don't have any shots.
I have a beautiful one.
I literally don't have shots.
I was going to take a shot at Expedia. But
I was going to take a shot at my roommate, but didn't have one.
I'll say my roommate in Vegas was Jay, and what a great guy. Good roomie, respectful. He's beautiful. What a great guy. And handsome as all get out. Wears his hat backwards at practice. Doesn't matter. Just a great guy. But
well, he wears his hat backwards so you can see his pretty face.
Who can blame him?
I figured it out.
Yeah.
Right? Showing off the goods.
Every time that guy walks by any reflective surface, he's got a big grin on, obviously. Now, so So here's my shot. And I'm 2 weeks in a row, I'm taking it at myself. And here we go.
Okay.
So the lead up to the flight in doesn't go great. Seems like something, the universe is against me. But Rachel got my flights booked exactly the same. So beautiful. Well, WestJet populates your flights into your Google Calendar. So Sunday night, we're all having some beers and talking away. And Razor says to me, "Hey, Donnie, what time's your flight tomorrow?" And I say, "Razor, my flight is at 11. And he goes, "Huh, well, that's weird. Mine's at 10. Like, well, we're not going to the same place, Razor, so it doesn't matter. And I didn't put two and two together and not thinking about it. So I go home. I pre-pack my bag. I have a fun time. I'm ready. I get up early. I'm feeling great. Go down to the front, get a cab, go to the airport, stroll in. I hear an announcement on the intercom. "This is your final boarding call for WestJet flight 14, blah, 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 with service to Edmonton." And I'm thinking as I go to the counter, huh.
How many flights to Edmonton?
Must be a couple then. That's crazy. Glad Tosh put me on the later one. Anyway, I get to the front and the lady goes, "Hey, you're supposed to be on this flight." I'm like, "What are you talking about? My flight says 11. And it turns out that was for 11 Lloydminster time, not yes. Nevada time. So Donnie walked into the airport willingly late for his flight. Not great. Felt fairly small. But WestJet, they're like, "Well, hold on. Let me type this in real quick." So they figured it out, put me on the flight to Calgary, and they didn't charge me. Because they said if the plane had pulled away from the gate, they have to charge it for a whole new flight. But they just rebooked. And so shout out to the lady at McCarran at WestJet counter. She was awesome. So then I just sat in a chair like a goon for 3 hours and waited for my next flight. So I was super early for my next flight.
For the next one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty embarrassing. Lucky, bud. So it wouldn't be me going to Vegas without some kind of hurdle that I tripped over. But all in all, still very good. My wife, however, not impressed that I ruined Valentine's Day by being late. So I've got that stay in the doghouse for the rest of this week to get through. Yeah. But other than that, I should be coming up smelling roses here, boys.
Okay, so it was a bit of a week of firsts for you then, Donnie.
Indeed it was, yeah.
So first trip to Vegas with the twos.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. First time raising a trophy with the twos.
Right.
First coach to ever miss a flight after the festivities on Sunday night with the twos.
Indeed, yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which should only help my campaign to come back to Vegas, given like all the things that I bring to the table in terms of entertainment and also the coaching moments. Like, and if I may, not a shot, but I have the diamond setup in Vegas was awesome. Five parks up on a bit of a hill, and then a very steep drop into the valley, and five or six more parks. So our outfield, I think outfielders all weekend, and Simmons was using her bat, and her bat is, it's illegal. The thing is a trampoline. I'm barely touching these balls, and they're flying. And she goes, "Hey, you think you could hit one over the scoreboard? This is in our last game." And I'm like, "Wow, yeah, probably, if I'm standing on the right field line, probably, yeah." She goes, "Well, it's our last game. Just hit one hard as you can." I'm like, "Nah." And I turn around and look, and she's poking at me. Great at peer pressure, by the way, Simmons. Good for you. Poking. I'm like, "All right, fine." So I throw one up, and I smash it, and it just disappears into the night down the valley. And I felt like $1 million. The three outies are like, "Ooh." It was the best. It was like the most validated moment I've had.
It's all right, but that $6 will be coming off your paycheck.
Oh, no. That's not – because Walter found the ball at the bottom of the hill and brought it back up. No joke. Yeah. I'm like, "Man, I was hoping he'd be running for a lot longer than that." But he was already down there.
The parents are doing a good job chasing all the home run balls.
Yeah, they're busy.
Did he sign it too? hey, speaking. Okay, here we go. Speaking of shots into the night, or I can't find the right Ron McLean play on words here. But okay. So we're playing Rhodes Ranch, and we're teeing off on 16, and 16 is a par 3 that just happens to be right beside the parking lot.
Oh, boy.
So Dino every once in a while he eases up on a club or whatever, and he's shanking it, right, pushing it straight right. So he hits this one, and it takes off, and he hit it pretty hard, and it just snap sliced
right out towards into the parking lot.
And we're like holding our breaths. And you know how that like sound of hitting windshield?
Yeah.
Right? So don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look.
Don't even go over there.
Don't even go over there. So we finish the roundup. We go. He looks over, and he finds his ball.
There's
and
my
it's
ball.
Sitting, yeah, sitting right there. No glass or anything, but the two cars that it probably parked there are gone. So we don't know if he actually hit it. But here's the kicker. Our rental was parked four cars over and one row back.
Yeah.
Like it could have easily been our rental, and that would have been poetic justice, I guess. But yeah, so Dino took one off somebody's windshield out there, and we're sorry for that.
Yeah, and there wasn't a few. I mean, there wasn't very many Chevys out there. You know what I mean?
No.
There was a lot.
Oh, yeah. There was that was the other course, buddy. We pulled up. There was like nine Teslas and
Mercedes.
And
yikes.
And us and our Chevy Malibu.
Yeah.
Yeah, we looked out of place a little bit.
Anyway, hey, I got to thank all of our instructors. I know we probably kind of did, but they were awesome.
Yeah, coaches were great. Coaches were great this week. You know, and yeah, it was good. It was the first time we brought 216 teams, so it's something to look at again. We definitely had the talent, obviously, to compete. So yeah, it was just great. Thanks again to the parents. We say thanks, but. And I use this word and I don't take it lightly. Thanks for trusting us. That's the biggest thing. They're trusting us with their daughter's softball careers. And I hope we're doing them right because, you know, there's a big commitment there, not only time, but financially to allow their daughters to have experiences like this. So, thanks to all the parents. It was great.
For sure.
Yep. You good, Donnie?
Yeah.
Dino, you awake now? We're getting ready for Sacramento, buddy.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Oh.
No.
Donnie, you should have
done
it.
Goodnight?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Goodnight.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit MyLloydMinsterNow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.